This is Mike Adams.
I'm Bruce O'Hughes.
I'm Justin Watson.
And this is The Break-Ins. Tonight's episode of The Break-Ins, we discuss mini-comics and their place in the industry.
Hey, so I'm Bruce. I'm languishing in obscurity far longer than I thought I would. It's kind of sad because all the Beatles accomplished so much by the time they were 21, and here I am quickly approaching 31. And while I'm proud of the mini-comics I have and the webcomics I have, I'd really like to maybe be published by someone who gets distribution in diamonds. Kind of doing the art thing on my own, working in the grayscale, been writing on my own, came out of some sort of horrible comic book relationship not too long ago, and trying to get up on my own feet. Is that funny?
It is now.
Oh, no, I was laughing at a joke I thought of earlier.
I like to remember things that only I find funny and keep them to myself, too. I call it the secret ha.
Mike, how about you?
All right, my name is Mike. I am 25, and I've been writing comics for a couple years now. I do Whack Comics with Justin here, and we do a time travel story about a guy named Tim Risen. And I really enjoy writing. If I could draw, I would happily do stuff myself too, but I cannot draw for anything, so I am more of a writer. And that's really about all there is to it.
And
we'll just go ahead and get all the awkwardness out.
Right, exactly.
Because we know.
And I'm Justin, and I have the case of the giggles tonight. I've been drawing, creating, and writing my own book, Gemini Serials, for the past 7 years. I've also worked on several other projects, including drawing for the Whack Comics publication, and also done some storyboards for a movie. So tonight's topic is mini-comics and their place in the industry.
We've all published the mini-comics. They seem to be cheap. You guys have done, what, two-page, eight-page?
Two-page? Oh, yeah, yeah. Plain Jane, I thought you were...
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the insult,
that was,
man.
That was three. Okay,
two-page is good stuff, and five-page is bad stuff.
No, but I mean, you can make a mini comic pretty much any size. I mean, the last thing I did with Clobber was 16 pages.
Right.
And I'm up to page 34 now on Clobber, so I'm thinking about doing the next 16 pages just to keep it consistent.
Now, do you find it easier to produce it? I know you do yours online first and then publish it.
Yeah.
I mean,
then somehow still make money, even though it's free online.
Right.
I love
it. You're around Whack Comics.
It is. It is. I'm leeching off of Justin's love. Love and hope.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, but it does look really good, if that counts for anything.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. I have found the mini-comics not the same size of page proportionately to a normal comic. Because I'm using the comic board, and I'm drawing everything. Like, I take the comic board, turn it sideways, split it in half. One, I save on paper, and two, it forces me to draw with less detail, ergo draw faster. But I figure out the proportions of drawing it comic book page sized, but just drew it smaller. But that does not fit on a mini comic. Because I guess 10 by 15 does not equate to, what would that be? Four and a half by five?
Yeah, something like that. Well, you have to do, yeah, just in case of spacing around the edges. Yeah. Yeah, no, so I found that too. Why don't you just draw it? Then why don't you just find out the ratio and then double or triple it?
Because the hope is one day if I ever finish Clobber, which right now I'm thinking around 64 pages, I'll be done with the first part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
That I would get, you know, 7, maybe 12 really nice pristine prints of this, send them out to a couple of different publishers, maybe send them out to some artists and writers I like, and they'd say, "That's really nice. That's awesome. We would like to pay you money to distribute this." So I want to keep it proportionate enough so that it can be blown up.
Right.
And sold as a normal comic.
Well, I was asking her about putting it online. Is this because, I mean, I know what I'm doing when I was doing Gemini serials and getting ready to start doing another one. That I tend to be 30 days or so. I'm just alone and no one. I don't know anything going on with people's ideas are about it. But you keep putting these out, you know, once a week or sometimes twice a week or every other week. I don't know.
It really depends on what's going on in my life.
Right. And then is that more instant gratification? They like it, and that keeps pushing you to do more? That I do in two pages?
It's not a matter of, oh, people like it. Because if you go to my website, it's the same three people that post over and over again. These people owe me money. That's why they're nice to me. I also, it seems, from Mike's perspective, it's got to be harder for you to get feedback than for me and Justin. We at least get generic positive feedback.
Yeah, visual. Right. Visual feedback, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody else goes, yeah, the book's great. Well, what'd you like about it? Well, I like this page and this page. Because, that's the one thing about a comic book is really the artist is the one who really does shine unless they're a big name, you know?
Right.
Well, what do you find when you talk to your family or people that I'm not to be around when they're talking to you about your Tim Risen publication?
Nothing. I wish I could give you more feedback other than the fact that they say the comic looks good. So on that point, Justin, you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. You're telling me that no one in your family, no one comes up and says, you know, Mike, I really liked, and you go, yeah, I wrote that.
No.
What about past writing and just say, that was my idea?
No.
That's rough.
That's kind of sad, Mike.
I don't get a lot of really critiquing feedback. Like, I don't know if people are just, like, my family's, like, afraid that if they say something bad, they're not going to do it. And like, usually when anybody else who's buying our comic, they don't come back and instantly say, by the way, I love this part that you guys wrote right here or something like that. It's always, this page looks really nice right here. So your visual storytelling is what counts, Justin. So
thank you.
You at least get that. I will often point out to people, hey, my website's in the back. My email address is there. Let me know what you think. Oh, I sure will. As soon as I get home, I'm going to read this and I'll email you. Those people are liars.
Oh, yes, they are. All of them.
What do you guys feel that you can do more with mini comics than if you were to do one of the big guys? I don't want to say top two because I really feel that. Marvel and DC do own a lot of the share. But there's Image, which does rather well, and Dark Horse, which produces a lot of books.
Yeah.
And Boom's come up pretty big, too, now, too.
Even, just here in the last couple of months, yeah.
Even IDW has been around for 10 years. And right. And they're doing pretty successful right now. So what do you think that you could do on with Tim Risen as opposed to working on... Well, just name a book that you would like to work on that you could do more stuff with Tim, or do you feel you could do more stuff with the said big book?
I just feel like that with your own book, you have a lot more freedom, unless you have a sort of dictator going over top of your book, telling, "Yeah, that's nice, but we're going to do this instead, Justin." No, but it all kinds of feeds into a process. You have a lot more say than the book's going to be done this way. You know what I mean?
What about you, Bruce? Like, anything controversial that you'd like to do?
What's that?
Anything that you got, Bruce, went on to do that's controversial that...
Oh, you're making this complicated for me.
I'm sorry.
Doing my own thing right now, I can do whatever I want, and it's completely up to me, and that's nice. That's really nice, but... I don't have anyone saying, where's the next page? I don't have anyone saying, you should adjust that. That doesn't work. This works great. And, I've played the game where I had somebody working with me and, we tried to balance each other out. And that was nice. Not perfect, but nice. It had its ups and its downs. And I can only imagine working for one of the bigger companies, at least starting out being a no-name little peon that I would be. Well, would be possibly a horrible experience.
Right. Because of not having the...
Clout.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to come in and say, well, I think we should do it this way. They would just kind of look at me and either smirk and say, well, you know, that's fine. Why don't you go back to middle of nowhere, Ohio, and do it that way? Or they would just flat out say, no, we're not going to do it that way.
See, and there you have a little more benefit going with either one of the subsidiary companies of, like, the big companies like Vertigo or Wildstorm or Icon on Marvel, or, you know, go to Image or Dark Horse or IDW, where you can do a creator and project, you know?
Right.
Hmm. Now, see, I mean,
that's the best of both worlds right there. Creator owned, you get the freedom, but with a big name behind you, you end up in every comic book shop in the world instead of just, you know, our local two or three.
Right.
Correct.
Well, and have you ever seen a creator that you watched them and they followed the rules? Which is kind of like when anyone that gets a new job, right? You start a new job and you're like, all right, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You know, mm-hmm. And you're doing everything by the book. You may not agree, but you're doing it. And then slowly but surely, you start to do more and more, and you start to have more freedoms, and then you start to do more things how you think you should do them.
In the Animal Man trades, if you read about Grant Morrison stuff, that Animal Man was originally supposed to be a miniseries, and because of what he did with Animal Man, you know, his four issues, he did such a good job in that's when you got the Coyote Gospel, and that's when he started, you know, really starting to do his own story on it, and that's when it became this whole big encompassing thing that came together like 3 years later, you know? And he played by the rules essentially at the beginning and then got to do his own thing, and it got better.
So
he, you know, he just does whatever he wants. And he does crazy stuff now. And, you know, it's hit and miss. But there again, it's hit and miss. I mean, what he hits with is really, really good. And what he misses with, I mean, you know, it misses, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I agree completely.
When you do the next clobber,
yeah,
are you going to base the amount that you print on based on the sales prior to the last issue?
Yes, but I'm doing that because I know I'm not going to put a number on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
I have no intention of telling people that it is the second issue.
Why would you do that?
Because then I'd have to reprint the first one.
You don't have to reprint the first one.
I think if I'm selling the second issue of something and somebody walks up and they're interested in it and they see it has a number two on the cover, they will then ask, where's number one? Because I would like to get them both. But if I package it as if it's its own separate story,
mm-hmm.
then they will be more prone to buy it on its own.
Now, what if when you go to a convention and you do, are you going to reprint both of them?
I might. It really depends on how I'm doing financially at the time.
Huh.
But one of the reasons I've broken it up into chapters is two, so that I don't think too far ahead and I don't get bored with the characters or the ideas. And secondly, so I can sell it however I want. I thought maybe there would be some sort of bigotry against the mini comics, so that's why. Like if you look back the Time Miners comic I did Thursday afternoon, and that Razor Baby collection, those are the size of real, honest to God, you know, comics. You see it with a 9x6.5 or whatever that is, and I thought, okay, this will make all the difference. Because these will be legit comics. They won't look like I made them in my mom's basement or anything.
I make mine in my mom's upstairs. Thank you very much. Well, I know when I did issue one of Gemini Serials 7 years ago. Fantastic. Made a lot of copies and I sold a lot. And the second issue, I made a lot of copies and I sold a lot. And in the third issue, which is the infamous
Man-Cube
issue, I made a lot of copies, and I have a lot of copies left. So,
the special anniversary edition of Man-Cube.
So, eventually, I started making less copies and less copies and less copies, and then I knew I would start making, I would make X amount of copies for the comic book shop, and I would make X amount of copies. For copies that I had friends at bottom that didn't go to the comic book shop, and that I would make another X amount to have around for the just in case pile. No pun in my name. So, and now with Tim Risen, I know you, Mike, and you, you know, we discuss how many.
Right. And
I mean, the first issue did well.
Yeah. We did like almost 100 issues in a day or something like that, right, which was really good for us.
100 copies?
Yeah.
Yep. Of issue. Okay. No. When was that? The first Gym City?
Well, the first.
Which would have been 3 years ago.
Yeah, you go ahead. You ahead, Mikey.
But yeah, it sold very well. Second issue, I'm pretty sure, did not do nearly as well, but still did decently. This year was a little bit different, though. It seems like we sold a lot of comics this year, too.
Right. And okay. But now, the thing is, though, I mean, what do you do when it's not convention time? I mean, how many copies do you make? Right?
Right, exactly.
So
my plan is none. I'm going to set on everything until a convention comes around, because I found that just trying to sell them through our local comic book shop, which I think should maybe remain nameless, that doesn't work. Have you guys had much luck selling in the local comic shop?
It's awful. I've sold in several comic book shops my books. Yeah. And, you know, it's tough. It's, you know, I mean, it's black and white, so it doesn't stand out. It's off to the side, no matter which one it is. You do get a small following of people, which is always, you know, nice.
Do the comic shops treat them differently since they are mini comics?
Sometimes. There's one I went to many years ago, and I would go back in, and every time I go back in, the books, there'd be other books in front of it. And so I would nicely take my book and move it back in front. And another week or so later, I would stop by, and there'd be some other books placed in front. And we're not talking like comic books. We're talking just like some kind of big, thick, hard book that was still there, you know, each week. Now, if you wait for convention, do you find it's more cost effective to produce a comic book every other month, every month or whatnot, and put them out at the comic shop, which you said no to, or to spend the money for a table and chairs and everything and set up for a convention?
The convention's, in my opinion, a better way to go, but it really depends on what convention.
Right.
I think we've... Mike, did you ever go to space?
No, and... you know what? I'm not going to comment about
it. Okay.
I've been twice.
Yeah, I mean, me and Justin have both been. I think we've both had less than stellar
experiences.
My first time was good. My first time was actually good. Yeah, yeah. And then
tell me about that, please.
I went. I mean, with the exception of the guy, there's one guy that bought everything to my left and to my right, and even made a comment. I buy everything at these conventions, but pass my table up.
Huh.
But
were you there alone?
No, I was there at the time with my with one of my inkers that I had on the book on Gemini Serials, and my ex-wife was there. Glad she got a plug. And
No names.
And you know, it didn't do bad, actually. And that's why a couple years later I was asked, hey, do you want to come up to space again? And I said, I got the time off. So I went up, I made a bunch of copies. I was really excited, and I felt like the leper there because my books looked a little too close to more conventional terms than to the indie look. And mine is an indie book. It's too indie for the big boys, but too big for the little guys.
That's how I felt completely at space. I was in between Top Shelf and some guy who sold Army Men hot glued to rocks. I'm serious. He came in late. He came in a three-piece suit, had two briefcases. He opened one of them up. It was full of Army Men. He opened the other one up. It was full of rocks. Just gravel he'd picked up. And he had a hot glue gun in his pocket. He asked for an extension cord from one of the people who ran the convention, and he began to hot glue them together and sold them from anywhere between $2 to $5. He probably made $30, $40. Me, I didn't make gas money to drive back home.
I just can't bring myself to draw Super Stick Man.
That guy
and sell it for $5.
That guy charges to take a picture with it. He's supposed to be a big deal, the stick figure fellow.
I don't know. This is why I have the NTP.
The no trade
policy. I don't want to get burnt at right. Conventions.
Just for anybody who happens to stumble upon this and listen to this at any point in time, or if you're drunk and it happens, whatever. The no trade policy is when we're at conventions, is there is a guy or like somebody will come around and they say, hey, that's a cool book you got there. Do you want to trade my book for yours? And as Justin so puts it, he's like, why would I trade gold for crap?
Here's a rock. Give me your $5. Thanks, gosh. I'm just going to use this rock right here. I'm going to enjoy it.
I'm going to use it to break your window and get my $5 yeah. back tonight.
Trade paperbacks. I'm for them and I'm against them. It depends.
What about them are you for, Justin? What about them are you against?
I'm for them if they include extra material.
Okay.
I feel they should have some kind of behind the scenes, as in either a cover, a sketch to artwork. Now I'm not talking about hardbacks either. Do you plan a trade paperback for your stuff, Bruce?
I won't say trade paperback. I will say right now, it's an original graphic novel that I'm distributing in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
which
that's
you
hope
one day
will
be one big graphic novel.
Well, Stephen King did that with The Green Mile.
Pardon me?
Green Mile was originally broken up and would come out every 2 months as a short little couple chapters. And then eventually it was all put together into one book.
Man, the Stephen King book, right?
Right. I'm really hoping that maybe I can pull something like that off with Clobber, because I have a beginning, a middle, and end, and I have stuff after the end, if it's even remotely successful. Even if it's not successful, I'll probably do it, because I'm an idiot.
No, you're not. You just keep working, man. That's what you got
to
do.
I try to be a workhorse. I mean, me and Justin have talked about this. If I hate a panel or a page, so be it. I'll just move on to the next one. I'm not going to sit around and try to get it right, because I'll never get it right. I hate to be the quantity over quality guy, and I hope I don't sacrifice any of the quality or cut any corners, but I'm going to be a comic book artist. I need to make comic books.
Right. That was a Kirby method, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wasn't it? He just pushed through?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how. Isn't that how he did it, Justin?
Yeah, he just he said, what was the quote I read? I'm paid to draw, not to erase, or something. I'm paraphrasing now, but the idea is that.
If he finished a page, he would not even like second guess it. He would just be like, "It's done. I'm going on to the next page now."
That's awesome. I will say I found out how to cheat when gray toning.
What's that?
I add a lot more detail, and I can fix things by adding just a little bit of gray here and there.
I was looking at some of your new pages or your more recent pages, and I think the gray toning in it really brings out some of the characters and like some of the detail on it too.
Yeah, I'm starting to add. You're really focusing on the light sources. The ink's going down faster because I'm not worrying about the light sources there where it's so permanent when I can just do it. And it's not even that I do it in post because I gray tone it by hand. I use pink highlighters to lay down my grays.
Really?
I scan them in and I make them gray and just set them to multiply.
It's pretty brilliant.
It makes no sense. I tried yellow. Yellow doesn't show up in the scanner. I tried blue. It looks like crap on the scanner. It turns out too black. I tried orange highlighters. Didn't work. Pink is the only color that looks good to me when converted to black and white.
Huh. That's funny.
I used to do a lot of gray towards the end of my Gemini Serials arc a couple years ago. I was doing a lot of digital work. If you go back and look at it, there's a lot of grays, and I would blur backgrounds so that foregrounds would stand up more. And I haven't done that in the last couple of years of doing any. I've done some digital work, but not as much as I was putting in to each. Sometimes I'll go in and I'll enlarge characters and shrink them. If I feel their hand's too big, I'll just digitally shrink it and then draw the rest in with my
your tablet. Your digital work is really good because it's hard to tell your digital work from your hand work.
Oh, it's very hard to tell.
Yeah. You're a lucky man, Justin.
Well, thank you. I figure we have a couple more minutes of this. We should maybe wrap some of it up. That way Mike can take care.
Mike can take a nap.
He's tired. Any final thoughts on what we talked about?
God, we talked about so much.
Yeah, we did. I guess the big thing is don't be turned off by black and white artwork because you're not missing out on anything.
Mini comics. I'm a fan of them because they're cheap. And I'm done.
And that's all there is to say about that.
No, there's nothing wrong with a mini comic. I think people will buy mini comics as they will the larger ones. It's cheaper for the artist. Feel sorry for the artist. We aren't getting paid unless you buy something.
I agree with what Bruce said about it being cheap. But we're not getting paid much, and most of the money just goes right back into it.
Right. And I've proven that the larger book doesn't sell better than a mini comic.
Bruce, you have a website, which is yeah. airing on, but we can always have links to this that they might not, gone to.
That's MissVersoHughes.com.
And you can find more of my artwork at either myspace.com/GeminiCereals. Mike, would you like to promote your book?
Oh, yes. You can also go to myspace.com/whackcomics. So go check us out there. And if you have our book or if you're picking it up at any of the local Dayton comic book shops, give us some feedback or let us know, if you're interested. So
yeah, don't be a mutant a-hole. Tell us what you think.